progress. What can start it? What can interrupt it? What can stop it? What can reverse it? One word answers it all. Nothing. Progress is the law of God. How could anything possibly interfere with it? It's dynamic. It is going on right now and always with everything that is a product of goodness. Everything that is a product of God-like activity. Nothing else has power because nothing else has ever had performance except for good. Good means spirit. Good means flawless, transparent, and therefore reflective. When one is endeavoring to glorify God, there is nothing that can interfere with it. There is an effort on the part of animal magnetism to make suggestions to try to act as a decoy to get one's attention off of the progress and the endeavor towards progress. Remember, Mary Baker Eddy states that infinite progression is concrete being. So that's the only thing of value, is constant progress. Looking at the synonymous terms for God, what is the beginning of activity from mind? It is creative ability. Without creative ability, there cannot be any activity. Another step are the qualities that are included in omniscience, which is intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Other qualities of mind that are required to get anything done are terms such as capacity, capability, facility, functionality. When these are combined with the action of mind, then we have performance. Performance is then measured to indicate power. Now, if all the ingredients are infinite, the power has to be infinite. That means that every idea, every thought that develops into a product, in other words, 2 times 3 equals 6. 6 is a product of the math tables that relate to 2 and 3. Since all of these qualities are qualities of mind, and this means the one and only mind with a capital M, which means that mortal mind is not existent, because that's in conflict with divine mind. And divine mind is the reality. So mortal mind and everything about it is unreal. Mary Baker Eddy states that the process to follow in bringing about a healing includes a number of steps. Mary Baker Eddy provides us some numbered lists throughout her writings. These are the steps. But we have to assemble them and translate so we understand what she's telling us. On page 146, down at the bottom of the page, she says, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, I believe that by disease, she means anything that is a dis-ease, any kind of a discord whatsoever. Doesn't matter whether it's sin, sickness, even death. Any kind of a friction in a relationship, any kind of a problem with any kind of event whatsoever, or any kind of an endeavor, whether it's a business, a marriage, a group of people working toward a similar goal, it applies to every single thing. Mary Baker Eddy was obviously very well organized, very structured, very systematic. She went according to a plan and design. It's a function of love. Structured and systematic is a quality of principle. She certainly had to be utilizing the intelligence, wisdom, and the knowing of omniscience, which is a quality of mind. She had to use creative ability, which is a quality of mind. She certainly had to get an improved understanding, which continued to increase throughout her life, of capability, capacity, functionality, facility, which are all qualities of mind. She had to understand that her substance was spirit, which of course is spirit, being the only substance, that substance had to be flawless, that it had to be transparent, so that she could reflect out into the atmosphere the benefits of all of her research and all of her writings. She had to be sensing with soul, with a capital S, all of the personal senses in a spiritual way, such that soul was her spiritual senses and not, quote, material senses. So that her seeing was seeing with God's eyes, as it states in the definition in the glossary, that God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. So she had to continue to study the book that she wrote, or that she was a scribe under orders in which she was writing. She studied it herself, so that she could better embed in her thought exactly the messages that came to her from God. She had to understand that life was exercising all of the qualities of God. These qualities, like have just been mentioned, and many others. She had to understand that life was an opportunity to multiply the good that she was bringing about as a result of her efforts. She had to understand that truth was consciousness, was motive, and it had to be of the substance of spirit, again, because spirit is the only substance. So, the qualities of consciousness and motive had to be flawless, which is what spirit is. It's flawless. It's like looking at a diamond through a microscope, and there's zero flaws. No alloy, no imperfections, totally flawless. She knew the standard had to be truth in everything she did. Couldn't be any mixture, could not be any dilution, deflection, stoppage, or reversal of the dynamics of truth. And of course, she exercised love just like Christ Jesus did, because she was lambasted, she was attacked continuously by everyone. It was very difficult for her to find any loyal students. Even one individual that was in her household was supposed to do something when she left this earth. He didn't do it for 35 years before he got enough courage to do what she dictated him to do as soon as she was gone. He wouldn't do it. He was a traitor. Just like Jesus, he taught all those thousands and thousands of people and his own 12 disciples. 11 of them were traitors. Well, the 12th one was also St. John, but he came back and recovered, became the loyal one. How many were at the crucifixion of Jesus? A half a dozen? Out of the tens of thousands that he taught, not a single one of his disciples except John was there. They all betrayed him. Mary Baker Eddy, the same way. When she decided to leave this earth, her household members that had been with her many years were like silent. They did not defend her. They were afraid. They were afraid that they would be bringing revenge upon themselves by the board of directors. Chickens. Chickens. They were chickens. They weren't willing to stand up for truth. They wrote very little. They released very little bit of the notes they must have had of the hundreds and hundreds of pages, if not thousands, that they must have had about their life living in the household of Mary Baker Eddy. Pathetic. It's too bad. We could have learned so much because they were taught on a day-to-day basis how to be a Christian Scientist. And they were awarded the CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. But they didn't share it. They were traitors. Very few reminiscences from all the people that served in her home. How about the development of the monitor? Who kept track of how that unfolded? I've not seen anything written about that. That had to have been a tremendous demonstration. Remember, this was back in about 1907 or something like that, when she moved from Pleasant View, her dearly beloved home in Concord, New Hampshire, to the Back Bay of Boston, which had to have been a tremendous sacrifice to leave the peace and the atmosphere of that beautiful home, to go into the hustle and bustle of Boston. She did it for one purpose, because she knew the monitor could never be established unless she was there handling every situation that arose. Imagine establishing a worldwide news organization back in that day and age, 110, 115 years ago. There wasn't any internet, no form of instant communication, unless you could do it mentally, which obviously she did. And look what happened to the monitor. It used to be a worldwide respected newspaper. Now it's just like all the other rags. Yeah, I say rags because that's what they are. They don't report the truth. They have an agenda they're trying to promote, and it's not very wholesome. They're promoting an agenda that lowers the moral standard down below zero, that lowers the news reporting standard below zero, because they don't report the truth. They're all controlled by government agencies, which means our tax dollars are paying for our own disinformation. Pathetic. What the monitor stands for today versus what Mary Baker Eddy established. Over 30 years ago, the monitor started a very strong downtrend in its quality and everything else about it. Individuals that worked at the Mother Church tried to warn us. There was one individual who was in charge of security. He started writing letters about what was going on, and he had the inside view. He had access to the database. He had access to everything. Most Christian Scientists would not even read his discourses that he was sending out, newsletters, because they were fearful for being violating the board of directors' dictates about running it like a dictatorship. Successful practitioners, they ran out of town because they were taking all the business away from the ones who were just floating on the reputation of years prior of people that really did the work. Unfortunately, this is the same common theme that creeps in to almost every organization that begins with a novel, important idea. Typically, the board of directors kick out of the organization the very founder of the organization. That's what the board of directors of the Mother Church did with Mary Baker Eddy. After she passed, they did everything possible to erase the memory of what she did. First thing they did was take her picture out of Science and Health. She put it in there. It was in there for a purpose. They made changes to Science and Health. They went to court, made dramatic changes to the manual. They ran the organization as if they were dictators that had control over all the branch churches, when in fact the very manual itself indicates that they are to be operated independently and not connected to the Mother Church. The Mother Church is just another branch church. The bylaws of the Mother Church are not to be used by the branch churches. They are the bylaws of the Mother Church. Each branch church is to establish their own bylaws. They're supposed to be operating independently. The ones that are members of the Mother Church should be the ones that live in Boston that use that church as their local branch church. Everyone ignores that. All of these different agencies of the Mother Church were to be disbanded because it required Mary Baker Eddy's signature to continue them. They ignored all the provisions, all of the important provisions of the manual. Mary Baker Eddy said she hoped that she would not need to write a manual, but she found that she had no choice. But it didn't do any good, because it was then ignored starting when she passed on. So, does interference seem to be a universal belief? It's not just with the church. It's with every major organization in the world, because they are all succumbing to the belief of human nature, which includes dishonesty, resentment, greed, desire for control over others, This is the reason that she established the Bible lesson, to eliminate control by a preacher of his audience. They're supposed to be readers, to read the lesson, period. They're not supposed to be preaching to the audience. Their one opportunity to be composing their own lesson is Wednesday evening meeting. That gives the first reader the opportunity to compose a lesson. But they're out of the textbook and the Bible. That's it. How many really give serious thought to it? I wonder. It is supposed to be taking care of denying the reality of any local problems, or it could even be a universal belief, but it's something that is prevalent, that is affecting their local community, and to support the truth with affirmations, all of which should be coming from the Bible and its spiritual interpretation via direct statements from Science and Health. The periodicals are so watered down, they have been interfered with directly. Rarely is Mary Baker Eddy even mentioned in the Journal and Sentinel articles. She should be the focal point. There should be gratitude to her in every single one. Healings, if there are any of them that are mentioned in the articles, should be giving full credit to the work that Mary Baker Eddy did in providing us all of her writings. Interference. We certainly need to give direct treatment to negating the seeming power of the belief of interference. Progress is going on, but are we able to benefit from it? We can only benefit if we have the correct, pure, flawless viewpoint of what is really happening behind the curtain, and the curtain being the belief of an interference, which means believing in life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Mary Baker Eddy states clearly that there is no mortal mind, because that in itself is a term which is an oxymoron, which means self-conflicting, because she says mind is immortal. Not mortal, but immortal. Therefore, there can be no mortal mind. It's like saying this is black-white. It could be gray, which is a combination of the two, black and white. It can be black and white striped, but there is no such color that is called black-white. There is no mind that is called mortal divine mind. We cannot mix truth and error. We cannot mix fact and fiction. We cannot believe in pantheism. We can only believe in truth, or we can be blind to the truth and believe in its opposite. We can believe in the Christ consciousness, or we can follow an antichrist thought. It's not real, it's not true, but we can act dumb, deaf and blind, and follow it like a herd of pigs heading toward their own self-destruction. There needs to be a concerted effort to decide where we are going to put the bar Think of the sports that are called track and field. Track, of course, is running around a track, foot race, or it could be hurdles where you're running and jumping as you go, or it could be the field part of track and field exercises or competition, whereby you're doing high jumps, broad jumps, shot put, any of those other kinds of activities that are not running around the track that are included in the category of track and field. We are all doing these exercises whether we're conscious of them or not. We all have to establish where we want our bar. Like the high jumpers, they start at a lower distance from the ground and then they keep raising it as the contestants are still in competition, able to clear the bar without knocking it off of its pegs. Same with the broad jump or the pole vault. If we are in any kind of a sport activity, should we be in aggressive competition against everyone else? Roger Bannister was the first one that was able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. His competition was not the other runners. His competition was establishing perfection in his own running. His technique, style, everything about the running event was judging himself against a standard of perfection. He didn't beat other runners. He beat a lower standard. One of the really great movies that I watched one time was about a female coach that was coaching girls in high school, and they were running around the track in the track and field events, and she taught them to not even look at any other runners. She said, "You're not competing with them. You're competing with what I am teaching you on how to run the race." She said, "You need to run each lap based on the time that has been specified for you to do it. That's all you have to be concerned about. Don't even think about anyone else on the track. Don't look to your left or your right. Don't try to turn around and look behind to see how close someone is to you. Don't worry about looking at the back side of anyone in front of you. Focus on what you are supposed to be doing, period. Nothing else." Everybody attacked her. The parents attacked her. Former coaches. Everyone attacked her. The people running the school, principal, superintendent. Everybody attacked her. Because she was teaching in a different way. She didn't care whether they won or lost the race. She cared whether or not they complied with the rules that she established on how they were to run the race. Sure, she was training so they would be winners, but not against other people. Winners against a limited thought. That's what she was competing against, a limited thought. And the most interesting thing about the whole movie was at the end, they didn't show who came across the finish line first. They cut the movie off. And everybody was looking around for the coach, and the coach had disappeared. The coach had done her duty. She had taught them how to establish their own pace and to compete with the rules that she had established, which was the principle for that particular race. And when she was satisfied that they had mastered it, she left. She wasn't looking for credit. She was looking for them to master themselves. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the best healings that she had, the most instantaneous, and she gave examples, was when she got Mary out of the way. That's what the coach had to do with these girls. She had to get them out of their own way so that they were only focusing on the principle of the sport, the principle of the rules that she had established for them to follow. And when they could do that, she knew that there was success. Whether or not it was winning against other contestants wasn't the point. Whether or not they were winning against their own concept of limitation, whether they were winning against getting themselves out of the way. That's what everyone needs to do when they're working toward healing. I believe it was Solomon that said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Whatever the need is will be supplied if we put ourselves out of the way and if we seek a better understanding of the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That should be our objective. Mary Baker Eddy tells us in the glossary, chapter 17 of Science and Health, that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal. What more would we want? He does our seeing for us, our actions, everything. It's all from God. It's not from human effort. It's from getting human limitation out of the way so that we can see God in operation. So we can see the actions of God. That's what we need to do. We need to let, as it says in Genesis 1, we have to let the 7 days of creation unfold. Like the first book of Wentworth Winslow, it is the title, Let God Do It. Are we going to let God do it? Are we going to get out of the way so that we can experience and we can benefit from what God is doing? Are we going to let God do it in our own experience? Or are we going to just keep self-will in there, pushing, shoving, elbowing, doing everything possible to defeat success? Because that's exactly what we do when we try to force self-will on any situation whatsoever. A treatment was made available on the website that talked about God first. And it was an experience. Two of them, side by side, they occurred on the same day. But they were experiences where the human effort was put forth exclusively. And it wasn't until human effort totally failed with such an obvious slap in the face that human self-will was set aside to give God an opportunity to do it, to reveal the real action that was taking place. And when that was done, the solution came about instantaneously. They were instantaneous healings. It's like that comedy with Steve Martin. He was trying to get information from this doctor about someone, and the doctor was very reluctant to give him any information, but you know, he knew enough about what was going on. This is Steve Martin, the actor, knew enough about what was going on that he would try to feed the doctor information to get the doctor to agree or disagree. So he was talking about this person that died very fast. And the doctor said, "Are you crazy? That person was ill for years and years and years." And Steve Martin said, "Well, no, what I mean is that it happened very fast the instant that he died. He was alive and then he was dead." So that's what I'm referring to here. These were instantaneous healings. One of them took place over a period of like, I don't know, a week. But when it happened fast. Because as soon as I released personal responsibility for bringing about success, then instantly there was a phone call, which solved all the problem. The same thing on the other instance, it was about a taxi taking off with all the groceries. And it wasn't until I took time to sit down on a bench in the shopping center and really get my thought together, which is what I try to relate in these treatments, each and every one of them. It wasn't until I took the time to do that that then the result came about right away. But it took 2 hours of arguing with myself and trying to find fault with why somebody didn't do this or that or whatever. And it's all in the treatments, if you want the details. But only then did the result come about instantaneous. So the result can be instantaneous, but it takes a lot of work to get self out of the way to let the instantaneous healing come forth. That's one of the qualities of spirit, bringing forth, birth. That's what spirit is, it's birth. It's recognition of the truth. It's like taking a puzzle out of a box. We need to take a peek at the finished product because that's our goal. Are we doing that in our healing work? Are we looking at what the finished goal should look like? Or are we muddling around with dark glasses on and being a victim of our own defeat? Or rather, the instigator of our own defeat? Or victimizing ourselves? It's our choice. There is nothing that has power except for the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Because power is a result of creative activity combined with capability, capacity, functionality, facility, intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And that all combined with the all action of mind. That then brings about performance. Performance is then measured to be power. So where are we going to short circuit that beautiful, beautiful unfoldment? We can short circuit it anywhere we want, and then we get failure. Or we can be like love and nurture each aspect of the unfoldment. And if we nurture each aspect of the unfoldment, then we will accelerate the instantaneous nature of the healing, the result. But the key is we have to seek first the kingdom of God. Not seek ye first the healing. The healing comes naturally if we are seeking the kingdom of God. Seeking what God is. Seeking to get our consciousness in alignment with God. Christ Jesus said that he was at one with God. He said, "My Father is greater than I, but I am at one with God." In other words, his thought was in alignment with the perfect spirit, flawless, transparent. And therefore, he was able to reflect out into the universe his goodness, his superiority over the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, over the belief of hypnotism, mesmerism, and any other ism or ology. Mary Baker Eddy was a scribe under orders. It wasn't her will that wrote Science and Health and all of her other writings. In fact, she totally reorganized Science and Health near the end of her visible existence on Earth, 1906 or 1907. She left in 1910. She'd worked on it for already since 75, so that's what, 30 years before she realized that this unfolded to her in a systematic way. So she put the chapters in the order of the systematic way in which they unfolded. And it was perfectly aligned with the first chapter of Genesis. Light. Light had to come first. If you don't have light, you can't see the rest of the unfoldment. And then it had to be divided in the firmament. That's spirit. That's day two. And in each one of these days, you have to do the letting. You have to let your thought get out of the way so that you can see the unfoldment, the revelation that God is providing. What is God? God is qualities. The qualities are already established. All we have to do is let them be our guide. If we want to know what 3 times 12 is, we have to know what the math tables are. We have to either know how to add or multiply. We can add up 12 3 times, or we can add up 3 12 times. Or we can multiply 3 times 12 or 12 times 3. As Mary Baker Eddy states, often you can reverse the words in any statement of truth and it will have the same product. Just like I mentioned right now, you can do 3 12 times, or you can do 12 3 times, or you can multiply 3 times 12, or you can multiply 12 times 3. If the formula is correct, then you can state it in reverse and it'll still be correct. But you can't combine truth and error. You cannot combine fact and fiction. You cannot combine falsity with truth. Can't combine matter with spirit. Can't combine life and death. Can't combine personal senses with spiritual senses. You can't combine principle with chaos. Can't combine truth with fallacy. If you're an architect and you want that wall to be straight, it can't be 91 or 89 degrees. It has to be 90 degrees off of a foundation that is perfectly level. If you're building on a hillside, you've got to make that foundation level before you measure your 90 degrees up. Are we looking up or are we looking sideways? Are we running a race against perfection or are we running a race against someone else that is working out their own salvation? Mary Baker Eddy says we will be plenty busy if we take care of our own business. What is our business? Our own business is our thought, our consciousness. That's our business. Are we letting the plan and design of love guide us? If we let it permeate every activity we're involved in, there will be no friction. Because oil, which is gladness, which is lubricant, that's a part of love. Like the couple that had somebody that came in and robbed them at gunpoint. They immediately thought about love and how nothing could be stolen and there could be no dishonest man. The burglar left with the goods, pretty soon came back. Because while he was gone, they continued to think about love. They continued to think about there couldn't be anything misplaced. He came back and he apologized. He says, I have no idea what came over me. He said, I hope you will forgive me. Gave everything back and left. They had never condemned him, so they didn't have to forgive. Mary Baker Eddy, in her article about love, forgiveness, the title is Love Thy Enemies. She states that who is my enemy? Who is the enemy? Except our own belief that we have an enemy. In the chapter on Christian Science Practice in Science and Health, she begins it with the story of Mary Magdalene, where she entered the house of Simon the Pharisee, who was entertaining Jesus. They wondered, how in the world did she even get inside the house? But Jesus didn't wonder. He immediately saw that she had already surpassed the belief of her sins, that she'd already realized that what she was doing was wrong. She came in there with this expensive oil and the hairs of her head, whereas Simon had failed to even provide for the washing of Jesus' feet, because people were wearing sandals and it was dirt roads, and the feet and ankles and lower part of the legs were always dirty and dusty. And that was the courteous thing to do, is to provide for the washing of the guest's feet. Well, Simon had forgotten to do that. He was so enthralled in himself that he didn't do it. She came in there and used this expensive oil and dried him with the hairs of her head. Just like Jesus. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He was showing his humility. She showed her humility. She showed that she realized that she had done really things that weren't right, and she wanted to make amends. She wanted to make a change. And she did. She was one of the few out of a half a dozen people that came to the crucifixion of Jesus. She didn't fear like 11 of the disciples. No, she came there. She was going to stand for truth. She was going to support truth. She was going to support the Christ consciousness. And that's exactly what she did. I believe she was one of the first ones, if not the first one, at Jesus' tomb. She went to visit it, apparently every day, for those 3 days that he was inside. And she's the one that noticed that the stone had been rolled away, and went and reported it to, I believe it was the disciples directly. She was really healed of her immorality. Jesus didn't have to forgive because he never condemned. He knew that reformation is the forgiveness. She had already reformed before she walked in the door of Simon's house. Simon is the one that needed to be reformed. He was still thinking on a material level. We have a choice. Do we want to be on the path of infinite progression and be building our concrete being or not? We either do or we don't. If we do, we have to make a real concerted effort. We have to give up self-will. John Morgan says, before you can even think about studying prayer, you got to be so disgusted with what you've been doing, following a self-will, that you're willing to look for something else with sincerity, genuinely, with a concerted effort. It's like the Word. The Word is one of the four parts to the city of our God, which are the operators, just like add, subtract, multiply, and divide are the basic operators of mathematics. 2 times 3 is the operation of the multiplication, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Or 9 divided by 3 is the division. Well, we have Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, which are the operators, which are to be applied to the 7 synonymous terms. That's the formula, the magic formula. We have to apply the operators to the digits of truth, which are the 7 synonymous terms for God. The first one is the Word, which means that is the facts. Those are the facts about God. The second one is the translation, which is the Christ. Jesus was a perfect example of the Christ because he translated when he saw a blind person or a dead person or whatever, he translated them to being the opposite of what the material vision was. Christianity is the demonstration. In other words, proving that the facts about God, properly translated, will bring about healing. And when we've had the healing, we know that we are living the Christ consciousness, which is the science. It's a very simple formula. Doing it is an individual salvation to be worked out. We have to accept the truth. Mary Baker Eddy starts Science and Health with the quote from Shakespeare, "There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." There's some other quotes there also, but that's the one I'm thinking of at the moment. Is that what we're doing? Are we letting our thoughts be what we want as an experience? Do we want to have an experience of chaos? All we have to do is think chaos. Think war. Think conflict. Think arguing. Think defect in others. Dr. Fluno has a great article on criticism. We had it on the home page as our lead article for a long time. You can look at it very easily by just going to the menu, clicking on authors, and clicking on the F where Fluno is listed. And it's very short. It's only like a page and a half. We have it both in audio and in print. And there is a treatment on it. I don't know, probably 20 or 30, 40 minutes. It explains about how to eliminate criticism, remove it, and heal it. If we don't do that, then we are violating what Mary Baker Eddy is teaching us when she says about love your enemies. The beginning of miscellaneous writings. So she felt it was extremely important for us to garner that concept. Do we want to be on the path of infinite progression? Do we want to be building a concrete being? We can do it. We give you the formula, which is what Mary Baker Eddy delivered to all of us. We outline it for you. We emphasize it. Maria Brunson is one that did some beautiful seminars on how these different synonymous terms work together. Helen Wright wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed. There are 7 chapters in there, starting with chapter 4 through 10. Each chapter is on one of the 7 synonymous terms in the order of the days of creation, starting with mind and then spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. She went through the entire science and health and underlined in each of the 7 synonymous terms that word that's capitalized, like capital M for mind and capital S for spirit. And she produced them in 7 volumes. So you can look at every place that Mary Baker Eddy utilized mind, or you can go to the one on spirit and the same thing, and soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We have it in 7 different files. I mean, this is really valuable things that we are providing to the world. They can be valuable to you. You can try to get something for nothing and probably receive very little or nothing. Or you can make an investment. Donate to the website. The website costs money every day because we are hiring outside contractors as our programmers. They're paid for us if no one else contributes, because we feel it's very important. If you want to gain more from the website, then make a contribution. It's like any investment. It can be a pair of shoes you buy. Are you going to keep them polished? The car you buy, are you going to keep it clean? My dad kept the engine of his car clean. You could eat off of it. You could put your hand in there and wipe your finger across it. You wouldn't come up with any grease. He kept it clean. Inside and out. He showed me a suit that he had bought a few years before, and it looked like brand new. A pair of shoes, the same thing. If we take care of what we have, it will serve us well. If we just want to get something for nothing, that's probably what we'll do. We'll probably get nothing for nothing. The website gives and gives and gives. We give it all. I work 7 days a week for free, volunteer for the website. Another individual does as well. What are you doing? Are you promoting the website? Are you telling your friends about it that are receptive to truth? Even your Christian Science friends, are you sharing it? Or are you just keeping huddled in a little tight corner of your own shell and think about how great you are doing in your progress? Because when you share, you will progress to a much greater degree. Most people don't share. Most people do nothing. Most people study their little lesson for a few minutes a day or whatever, and that's it. Or they try to study all 6 sections in one day, and that's not how Mary Baker Eddy designed it. She designed it so that the lesson number 1 is for Monday. Lesson number 2, section number 2 is for Tuesday. Section 3 is for Wednesday. And at the end of the 7th day or 6th day on Saturday, then you are ready to put the whole thing together, which you are supposed to be hearing from the desk. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go to church to do it. In fact, most churches are fraud. They're not promoting healing. They don't even mention Mary Baker Eddy in most of the testimonies, because she's been beaten down so much by the publishing society, leaving her totally out of her own writings. People don't realize she was the woman prophesied in the Bible. They don't realize that Jesus was prophesied 2,000 years before he appeared. Robert C. Putnam is a scholar, Bible scholar. He was a Sunday school teacher for 30 years, and he gave us the benefit of his advanced knowledge of Mary Baker Eddy and the Bible in 10 Bible lessons. There are hundreds of additional references that support everything he says, all from the Bible. We have it all for free on the website. Robert C. Putnam. Just go to the menu, select authors, click on P, select Putnam. All of Jesus's parables, 41 parables of Jesus, are totally analyzed by two very advanced Christian scientists with the last names of Stamp and another one by the name of Moss. So all you have to do is go to the menu and click on Jesus, and it will go to the parables. Or you can go to the menu and click on the authors and click on S for Stamp. We give it all to you. We work 7 days a week and many nights, often 7 days, Saturday and Sunday. Then might take off a day here and there. We are dedicated Christian scientists. We study intently every day, and we share. And that's what you should be doing. This is the end of this treatment about progress. We hope you will take it seriously. We hope you will share it. We hope you will contribute. Well, we don't hope, but if you want to get more out of it, you will contribute to the website. And how about the music? We have fantastic music. Great music. Wonderful, wonderful musicians. I mean, some of the best voices and instruments you will ever hear. We provide music, suggest music selections with every treatment. We don't look at what other websites are doing. We look at what we feel perfection is, and we keep striving for it. We hope you will do the same thing. Remember what Mr. Rawson says, and of course Mary Baker Eddy, there is nothing but God. Nothing but God. Amen.